Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is a period of time in which we trainers are coming onto social media to talk about the theme of relationship. It goes on for about 2 weeks. So you'll hear me do podcasts and other things, and the other trainers will be doing things on that theme. I kicked it off with authentic relationship, that episode. This one, I just want to talk about simply defining and helping you find whether you have a more avoidant or an anxious, just between those two, attachment style. Avoidant, dismissive. There's also fearful. There's different attachment styles. But to me, it comes down to energy and a mind-body connection. It's this simple we've discovered in KI. If you are someone with an anxious attachment, you're like every other human. You need love, but you're afraid of it because of what's happened, the trauma of the past. That's exactly the conditioning that your avoidant partner has. But the difference is that with the avoidant partner, because of what's happened, the I'm afraid of love pulls them into getting away from people because the system learned that that works to protect themselves, their energy. Avoidance need independence for safety, and that ends up being very disconnecting because it's an unconscious thing. And anxious people with an anxious attachment, their fear drives them to need reassurance or don't leave me, fear of abandonment. So just keep it that simple, that you could either be more leaning towards disconnecting, even though you need love, or going towards somebody in a clingy way because you need love. But everybody's afraid. So the anxious, they're afraid of losing people, and the avoidants are afraid of getting too close. It's just scary because that's our trauma, is getting in close relationships, getting deeply hurt, rejected, humiliated. And for the anxious, they might have a more of a core fear of losing people, maybe even more than getting hurt. So we're different. But when you, if you go onto YouTube and you listen to the therapist, you know, we all can get in our head a little bit or a lot. But if you go into the body, it's simple. It's just that. It's we all have the same conditioning. It's just that we develop differently. So we all have a need for love because we're unconscious beings. We don't know that we are love. We can't feel and express everything. So we just, again, we look for it outside of ourselves, not knowing that we are it. And we're all afraid because of this sense of separation and survival. We have to maintain it. And so even though we need love, we can't get hurt because that feels deeply threatening. It's just because of what happened to us, including intergenerational trauma. So what I'm saying to people, there's no way out of this except by making the unconscious conscious. You can't just be mindful of this. It doesn't arise. So I need love and I'm afraid of it, totally buried. Oh, and totally connected to the buried emotions. So here's another part to this. Going back to the avoidant attachment, remember, they need love and they're afraid, and so they have to get away. They may also have buried anger. And so the getting away is to get away from ever feeling and expressing that anger or being vulnerable about their needs that they've buried. Constant getting away, connected to buried anger. They're actually trying to get away from their own bodies. They're scared of themselves. But to stay safe, an avoidant will make it about a partner or other people. Oh, like, because of how you are, I gotta go. No, because of how I am, I have to go. That's the avoidant conditioning. And then the anxious also equally doesn't take responsibility and often shadows or projects. So in other words, they don't know that they're love. They're looking for love. And because of what happened to them, this fear of losing people governs it. And so they're, even though the love is there, just like with the avoidant, they're creating suffering. Because often they'll pick someone who's avoidant. We're replaying the trauma of our childhood. We avoidance and anxious, we get together and we do this dance of suffering where we trigger each other. And unless we each do our own work to make the unconscious conscious, we just basically keep doing that. I mean, we can work it out somewhat at the conscious level, negotiate, talk, but truly, this is driven by the unconscious. And we can only make some change at the surface. For the really deep change has to be the unconscious made conscious, with a focus on the buried emotions that are driving it: anger, hurt, sadness. And this conditioning, which says, I need love, but I'm afraid. And so I'm afraid I have to get away, avoid it. Or I'm afraid and I need reassurance, anxious. Or I need both. Like, these patterns operate together. So might be like, oh, I need your love, but because of this is happening, I have to shut down. But if you're going to leave, if I think you're going to leave, I might become anxious. I don't want you to leave, but now you're not going to leave. And that kicks it. Now you want to love me and I have to avoid that and my emotions. See that dance? And then the avoidant is equally doing that. So the avoidant picks the anxious, you know, like a parent who was anxious. And then I'm going to find love, but then they're anxious and I got to get away. But if the anxious starts to become secure or breaks up with me, it's like, oh, I need to go back to that person. I need love. Where are they going? But that never happens, usually. An anxious will stay anxious, triggering the avoidant, and the avoidant may stay avoidant, triggering the anxious. And then, like with my relationship, mine was avoidance, but Chester's was a combo. So that was his dance. If I would start to pull away, he would become anxious. If I started to open towards him, even if I got anxious or I opened to him just for intimacy, it scared him. When I came into a secure way, secure attachment from this work, it scared him at first, but then it gave him space. So what we're learning here is that change can happen if just one partner does their work. And there's some other research on that and some other influencers and therapists talking about it. Because if you think about it, in the past, the secure attachment is what helped us survive. You know, families, villages, it was helpful to have secure parents, elders, people who could keep things together and who were, that's just, you know, think about it, very helpful for us. But then there are other things that happened in our past where avoidance helped us survive, or being anxious helped us survive. And so we adopted these things, these attachment styles. But when one person in a relationship gets clear, what that does is it creates space, a healthy space for the other person. So the other person then doesn't have to respond to the trauma of their partner if their partner's more secure. They may still do it, but something happens. It's magical, actually. I've seen it in a number of cases, too many to mention at this point. But basically, it looks like this. It's somebody wants to leave a relationship, but instead of leaving, they come to KI, and they discover that they're an anger repressor. And they do that work, and they discover that the reason that they wanted to leave was not really because of the partner. It was because of the avoidance. And the avoidant conditioning was telling them to get away. So just trauma. But they were telling themselves that their partners, they're not doing well, or they picked a partner that's not the right one, or there's something wrong with the relationship. That was what they were saying at the conscious level. But at the unconscious level, it was just, I have to get away. I'm afraid. But when one person does their work here in KI, it creates different responses in that person first. Now, so let's say the person buries anger. When they come here, they're going to find their power and their voice. They're going to be able to express that emotion. So therefore, all these qualities come online for them, because it could have been already that they had the quality of empathy or vulnerability, because those were safer than the buried anger. But by processing the anger, they get their power. With her power online, with her authenticity, their vulnerability, they have different responses in conflict. Doesn't mean it's not anger. It just means it's a different response. With all those emotions online, that person can stay there and not disconnect. a secure attachment, so to speak, will not have to. They might create space for safety, but they're not going to disconnect unconsciously. That's what I'm purporting or proposing, that a secure attachment has to actually be clear. They can't just be faking it. And that's what really changes things in terms of our evolution, is that we stop saying a secure attached ego, because there's no such thing. An ego can't be secure, but we can. What we really are is our authentic self, which is the presence-based recognition. We're not our stories. So that person, having processed their emotions, gonna have different responses. What that does is it creates safety for the other person to respond differently. See, this person may have always been responding to someone who was avoidant. Maybe someone in relationship, they had a parent who was avoidant. But now they're getting to relationship and there's somebody who's secure there. That's something different. They've never had that. So with that secure, that more conscious way of being, that person doesn't have to feel so afraid and so unsafe. They still need to do their work, but the relationship can change positively just from one person doing the work. But what also happens is when one person does the work, sometimes that person decides that they don't want to be in the relationship, and it's not avoidance. It's they got clear and they set boundaries, or they express what was true for them, and they recognize that this is not the right relationship. And they were just there to get love and not to be love. And so they become interested because they've processed, because you can't blame it on your partner when you have trauma. You can't say, well, I just haven't found the right person. You may not have yet, but you're not that person yet. You don't know who you are. So you're going to keep choosing these partners, is what I found, because you don't know what you want. We just want to stay safe and get love. We have trauma like that. It just clouds everything about how we choose things and people, because we're just needing to suffer for survival. It's been fun to do this work and then look back at my life as an avoidant who also was anxious in my 20s and 30s. And see it all now, and have so much compassion for people on either side of that coin, because it's very simple. It's like everybody needs love and everybody's afraid of it. And that's it. There's programming in the body specifically for that. And those are the drivers. And that programming is connected right to holding anger back or hurt or sadness. And it's that simple. And yet we complicate it at the surface with a trillion different stories or trauma responses. But really, KI simplifies everything. As you become more skillful, you'll see we all have this in common. Whether you're anxious or avoidant or both, you need love and you're afraid. And you just developed in a way to deal differently with all of that, you know, based on whatever attachment style you have. There's this beautiful commonality, though, within us. Not only our trauma we have it in common at the very core, the programs are the same. And what we really are, the presence, is we have that in common. So deep somatic processing around attachment style ends up being about embodiment of presence. I actually don't know how you would embody presence without getting to the trauma that drives you. If you think about it this way, when we have trauma responses, fight, flight, freeze, fawn, we can't really resolve issues because we're not there to do that. We're there to stay safe and get love and approval. Freeze is more important than resolution. So when you do your work, what becomes important is resolution and authenticity. You don't have those trauma responses forcing you into something because you can feel and express what's true. Now, this is what makes it really cool for me. And hopefully for you, I not only wanted to simplify it and tell you it's the same conditioning for all of us, but, and then of course the avoidant, their fear drives them away from people. The anxious has fear that drives them towards people, but we all have buried emotions connected to that. So where that becomes interesting is if we're freezing speaking of resolving stuff or connecting more, if we're freezing, quite often we're freezing around buried anger. Might not be the only emotion that's repressed, but buried anger tends to create this freeze or flight response. Now, we can't resolve things in that. We have to take care of ourselves and stay safe, which is fine, until we're more conscious, and then we don't have to freeze or flee, so that we stay there more securely responding. See, that changes the relationship, because now we're not just going into an automatic trauma response, which forces the partner to do the same. We're showing up more authentically. We show up that way by processing the buried emotions. And then that opens the door to resolving issues in a way that never you could before, is what I mean, because it's your authenticity. It's not another program. It's not another idea that some therapist or teacher gives you. It's what you are. And it's secure in its very, you know, nature. Who you are is very secure. Authentically. I can't believe I had so much trouble with that word. Okay, so what's beautiful then is just understanding that that how we respond to each other, whether we get away, that's flee, or freeze, or fight, is because of the buried emotions. A sadness or hurt repressor might feel safer to get angry. That's why the fight response comes up. See that? Whereas an anger repressor, it might feel safer to freeze or flee. But then everybody has a responsibility in relationship then, because everybody's coming from a trauma response. If we're just fighting, or we're freezing, or fleeing, or fawning, we're not being ourselves. And so we can't resolve things. And we can't have like deep, meaningful connections. And that's why I say to people, don't process stories. You're staying so safe. If you only knew how safe you were staying by processing shadows and stories and beliefs, you produce that as part of the need for safety. That's part of your fear. So when you process what you're producing for safety, you're missing the fact that the buried emotions created it. Go to the buried emotions. Go to the conditioning that says, I need love, but I'm afraid, and that I have to hold anger or hurt back. And we'll show you how to do that. But once you see the connection between repression and trauma response, which means, and also attachment style, these are all fancy words, complicated ways of saying something simple, which is, I have to go. I'm afraid. I can't get angry here. That's it. And we call it so many different things, but that's it. And that's what we find in our body. And you know, when I sit with it and I think about why I did this podcast, and I think, well, why have we complicated it so much? Why haven't we just seen that it's, I'm angry or hurt and I'm afraid, I have to go? Because we wanted it that way. We've been driven by safety since the dawn of time. Humans have apparently buried emotions. We just don't know what's going on, but that's how we want it. We don't know where our suffering is coming from. If we did, we'd be conscious of it and it would end. We don't want that. How do you stay safe in that? You can't. And that's why there's so much ongoing suffering and seeking that never ends, or sabotage or avoidance in a spiritual path, because the same trauma responses that drive us in relationship drive us over to a spiritual path. And we do the same thing there. We need love, but we're afraid of it. We want to be free, but we're afraid. And so we do the same thing from our trauma responses in the practice. We sabotage it. We freeze. We fight the practice and resist it. Or we flee. See that? And we're doing the same thing everywhere. And it's so simple when you get to the unconscious. It's so complicated when you don't. And I will say this before I go. there are people who just haven't done KI enough to make it conscious to where they see how simple it is. And their mind, God love them, keep them safe. And they'll say, Scott, but you're making it so complicated. Why can't it just be here now? Let me count the ways. May I? One, be here now misses most of what's here now. What's mostly here now is unconscious. And we just can't see it. So nobody's being here now. Or we're just being here with repression. And being here now is a way to hide from that. And by the way, that simplification, as if you can just be here now and end your suffering, that kind of mind simplification is really good at keeping buried emotions down. Because simple truths have a resonance. Because there is a resonance with be here now. This is my life, is being here now. But it's embodied. And so we can't just say be here now. And we can't just say that anything other than be here now is complicated. If we're earnest, it takes more than that. It's better to catch yourself than to be here now. Meaning, be here now and catch yourself at how you're lying to yourself from buried emotions. Then you can end the suffering. But keeping it quote unquote simple and just being mindful will keep you in these trauma responses because they don't arise. Trauma doesn't arise as a memory or something that you can process. It's a reaction and a response to life. And you're doing it everywhere. We call it attachment style, but it's just fear. I hope this helped. If you're interested in working with me on something like this, like relationship issues and how you have a string of whatever relationships that didn't work out, there are different programs that would work for that. But I invite you to come into my 90-day intensive where we can just really focus on the patterns that are driving you. If you can't do that, if you don't have the money for that, hold off. Don't come talk to me yet. Don't go onto the link here in the description. Just go to repressiontest.com, take the repression test, and that'll put you on the newsletter. And the newsletter has this one-month jump starter group for people who, for example, have an anxious attachment style. They don't want to go into a one-on-one mentorship with me, or they want to, but they have resistance. Go into the group and learn KI without having to be one-on-one. Thank you for listening.